بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. After our return from the performance of Hajj, we continue with our series around the shubuhat and the doubts around the da'wah salafiyyah al-mubarakah. In today's session, we want to look at another shubha, and that is a shubha related to alqab, or related to names that Ahl Sunnah are referred to by way of. Before we get into the shubha and its discussion, we want to look at a beautiful passage from Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Ahmad, in his discussion of, or in the beginnings of his book, Al-Radd ala al-Jahmiyyah wa al-Zanadiqa, he discusses a beautiful, or mentions a beautiful introduction. And this introduction highlights, or has in it what is known as al-Bara'ah, Bara'atul Istihlal, and that is the type of introduction that indicates what the rest of the book is going to be discussing. He begins by mentioning, rahimahullah ta'ala, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala fi kulli zamani fatratin min ar-rusul baqaya min ahli al-ilm yad'una man dhalla ila al-huda wa yasbiruna minhum ala al-adha wa yuhyuna bi kitabillahi al-mawta wa yubassiruna bi nurillahi ahli al-ama fakam min qatirin li iblis qad ahyaw وكم من ضال تائه قد هدوا فما أحسن أثرهم على الناس وأقبح أثر الناس عليهم. He begins رحمه الله تعالى by mentioning, praise be to Allah who has made in every period between the prophets a remaining group of the people of knowledge. They call من ضل إلى الهدى, they call those who go astray to guidance, and they are patient منهم على الأذى, they are patient with the harm that comes from them. وَيُحْيُونَ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ أَهْلَ الْمَوْتَى, and they bring life by way of the book of Allah to the dead, and they give sight with the light, with the nur of Allah, with the light of Allah, to those who are blind. فَكَمْ مِنْ قَتِيرٍ لِإِبْلِيسَ قَدْ أَحْيَوْا, how many an individual that Iblis has killed, they have given life to. And how many misguided, stray individuals they have guided. فَمَا أَحْسَنَ أَثَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّاسِ, how beautiful then and how good is their effect upon the people, and how ugly the people's effect is upon them. Subhanallah. He mentions, وَيَنْفُونَ عَنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَالِينَ وَانْتِحَالَ الْمُبْطِلِينَ وَتَأْوِيلَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and they repel and negate from the book of Allah the distortions of those who go beyond bounds, the fabrications of those who fabricate and lie, and the false interpretations of the ignorant. After mentioning this introduction, beautiful introduction, wherein he makes mention of the reality of the people of knowledge, and that is that they give life, yani they are a remainder of inheritors of the prophets, those who guide people to guidance and to Huda, those who are patient upon them and the harm that comes from the people, those who bring life to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, or bring life with the book of Allah to those who are dead, those who yubassiruna bi nurillah, those who give sight with the light of Allah to the people who are blinded, yani blinded by misguidance. How many an individual Allah Azza wa Jal has given life by way of them, individuals who Iblis has killed, and how many a misguided individual they have guided. Then he mentions, فَمَا أَحْسَنَ أَثَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّاسِ, how good and how beautiful is their effect upon the people, and how ugly is the effect of the people upon them. How beautiful is their effect upon the people because of the khair that they bring, because of the guidance that they bring, because of the clarity that they bring to the people, that they may worship Allah Azza wa Jalla upon clear-sightedness. And how ugly is their effect upon them, speaking ill of them, dispraising them, warning against them, and other than that, from the ugly traits and characteristics that come from the people of desires and from the people in general. He goes on to mention, فَهُمْ, and then he describes the people of desires, and this is particularly since this series revolves around the shubuhat, and those shubuhat, of course, coming from the people of desires. Listen to this description of the people of desires. He said, فَهُمْ مُخْتَلِفُونَ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُخَالِفُونَ لِلْكِتَابِ مجمعون على مخالفة الكتاب يقولون على الله وفي الله وفي كتاب الله بغير علم ويتكلمون بمتشابه من الكلام. He mentions that indeed they are, listen to this description, they are مختلفون في الكتاب. They are at difference concerning the book. They differ about the book. يعني about the Quran. مخالفون للكتاب. And they differ with the book. They are at difference concerning it and its meaning, and they differ with it. مجمعون على مخالفة الكتاب. They are united upon opposing the book. If they unite upon anything, then they unite upon opposing the book. He said, ويقولون على الله. They say about Allah. وفي الله, and concerning Allah. وفي كتاب الله, and concerning the book of Allah. بغير علم. They speak about it without knowledge. يتكلمون بالمتشابه من الكلام. And listen to this description of theirs. They speak with ambiguous speech. Speech that is unclear. Speech that is, yani, that carries more than one, possibly carry more than one meaning. He mentions, وَيَخْدَعُونَ جُهَّالِ النَّاسِ بِمَا يُشَبِّهُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And they beguile, yani, they trick, and they beguile the ignorant people because of that which they bring from ambiguity. And this, ikhwan, then brings us to our topic, our subject today, and that is the alqab and the names that are used by the people of innovation to refer to the people of sunnah and hadith. And we mentioned previously that this is an ongoing trait and a well-known trait of the people of innovation. In fact, it is from the signs, the clear-cut signs that the people of sunnah and hadith in the past, they would see this and they would suffice with it to know that these are people of innovation, these are people of hawa, people of desires, if they saw this one sign, and that is al-waqi'atu fi ahli al-athar. We mentioned the narration of Ahmad ibn Sinan al-Qattan, who said laysa fi dunya mubtadi' illa wa huwa yabghadhu ahli al-hadith. There is not a mubtadi in the dunya, not an innovator in the dunya, except that he hates the people of hadith. And ikhwan, listen to these characteristics. Don't just listen to them as some type of academic study. Listen to them in order to implement them, in order to see how they manifest in our midst. Laysa fi dunya mubtadi illa wa huwa yabghadhu ahli al-hadith. There is not a mubtadi in the dunya except that he hates the people of hadith. And this, of course, is a reference to the people who clarify by way of the sunnah, by way of the athar, by way of the narrations of the salaf of this ummah, clarify the methodology, clarify the manhaj. They are ahlul hadith. And for that reason, the people of innovation hate them. And as of course, we make a difference between those who have knowledge of hadith but don't speak against them. Then they, while they may be in the general sense be referred to as the people of hadith, but those who these narrations speak to are in particular those who clarify dalala and clarify the misguidance of the people of hawa. Likewise, we have the statement of Abu Hatim al-Razi, who mentions rahimahullah ta'ala, alamatu ahli al-bid'a al-waqi'atu fi ahli al-athar. The saying of the people of bid'a is that they speak ill of Ahl al-Athar. And so this affair, it was constant throughout time that they have spoken ill of the people of Sunnah, spoken ill of the people of Hadith, dispraised them, and used terms that are ambiguous, that the general people may believe that, well, actually, that is a correct description of them. And that is, of course, part of the ambiguity. And returning back to this ambiguous nature of theirs when they speak to the people and misguide and beguile the people by way of this ambiguity. So in our time, we hear them referring to the people of Sunnah as a cult, for example. And they say that they are a cult and they have cult characteristics. And we look into what a cult is, and we see that a cult may refer to a number of things. some of those groups or some of those individuals possibly praiseworthy, but some of them deemed blameworthy by most of the people, because many cults have gone as far as to kill themselves destroy their own themselves and their followers in, for example, a house together. And so they have historically, cults have historically traits that are blameworthy. And so, of course, when you use that reference to refer to the people of Sunnah and Hadith, it is one that is ambiguous, and it is one that there are characteristics of cultism that are present within the people of Sunnah and Hadith in every age. From those characteristics is their staunch adherence to a particular thing. Staunch adherence is from the characteristics of a cult. With Ahlul Sunnah, it is something praiseworthy, as we're going to see in some of the narrations that we will mention. But among the various cults that have arisen, their staunch adherence has been to misguidance. And so this ambiguity, it is a common trait with the people of Hawa. And so when we see it manifest in our time, it is something that we expect to see. And of course, they're inspired by Shaytan. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًّا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِ يُوهِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, and likewise have we made for every single prophet an enemy from the shayateen of mankind and the jinn. And Allah affirms shayateen from mankind. What is it that they do? They inspire each other with beautified speech as a form of deception. And so that is what you'll find from them. Beautified speech as a form of deception, used only to beguile, just as Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned. So one of the characteristics, one of the labels that we hear being used and being implemented upon the people of Sunnah is that they are being referred to as Haddadiyya. They are being referred to as Haddadiyya. Haddadiyya is a reference to the followers of an individual, an Egyptian known as Mahmud Haddad, who of recent times, a number of years ago, had a fitna that our scholars stood against, as is or ordinarily the case, stood against and clarified the misguidance and the dalala of it. And it was misguidance, of course, Ikhwan, that went into the affair of extremism and shidda and ghulu in relation to some of the affairs connected to the people of innovation and bid'ah. And so, when the mumayya, when those who are weak in the implementation of the methodology look at Ahlul Sunnah, true Ahlul Sunnah, and they see the method and their manner of implementing the methodology and the manhaj, they say that this is shidda. And then they say, well, this is the shidda of the Haddadiyya. And therefore, they use the title of Haddadiyya and apply that to them, knowing that they intend something and that Haddadiyya is something completely different. Knowing if they are truthful and if they have any knowledge, because of course some of them apply it ignorantly, have no clue what Haddadiyya is, but apply it because other people apply it. But if they have an understanding of Haddadiyya, then they will know true Ahlul Sunnah are in one valley and Haddadiyya is in another valley. So what we want to look at then is, what is Haddadiyya in actuality? And one of the best, Ikhwan, to refer to and address this affair is the Imam of this era that stood against them, the greatest Qiyam, the one who was the harshest against them and the one who was the clearest in clarifying their misguidance and the one who they had the most problem with, الشيخ ربيع بن هادي المدخلي حفظه المولى ورعاه. Sheikh Rabi, in a work or in a writing that he did under or alongside the writings that he had in refutation of Abu al-Hasan al-Ma'ribi, he had a piece that he wrote around Haddadiyya. Why? Because Abu al-Hasan used it to refer to the people of Sunnah and Salafiyyah and Hadith when he was refuted. And so this is a trait of Abu al-Hasan that has been inherited by those who follow him, whether they realize it or not, that it is inheritance from Abu al-Hasan. And so in order to repel this doubt of Abu al-Hasan, a sheikh wrote this piece in order to make a difference between true Haddadiyya and Ahl al-Sunnah, and clarified by way of this what true Haddadiyya actually is. And he entitled the piece Mumayyizat al-Haddadiyya, or the distinguishing characteristics of al-Haddadiyya. If we're acquainted with Haddadiyya, true Haddadiyya, then we will know and be acquainted with the batil and the falsehood and the dhulm of those who accuse Ahl al-Sunnah of this, and the fact that this only falls under the general premise of Ahl al-Bid'ah using shubuhat, ambiguous speech, unclear speech, in order to beguile and to misguide the general ignorant masses. And so the methodology of Haddad, then, our Shaykh, he mentions, bringing the manhaj of Haddad point by point, in order that we may see the difference between true Haddadiyya and Ahl Sunnah. The first point that he mentions from the methodology and the manhaj of the Haddadiyya is بغضهم. Number one, بغضهم لعلماء المنهج السلف المعاصرين وتحقيرهم وتجهيلهم وتضليلهم والافتراء عليهم لا سيما أهل المدينة ثم جاوزوا ذلك إلى ابن تيمية وابن القيم وابن عبد العز ابن أبي العز الشارح الطهاوية ويدندنون حولهم لإسقاط منزلتهم ورد أقوالهم. The first point is their hatred for the ulama of the methodology of al-Salafi al-Mu'asirin. Their hatred for the Salafi ulama, the present day Salafi ulama, them dispraising them, them speaking ill of them, them declaring them ignorant, and them holding that they are upon misguidance, and them fabricating lies against them, especially the ulama of Medina, especially the scholars of Medina. And that developed and went further to the extent that they began to speak ill of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim and Ibn Abi al-Izz and others. And they worked day and night to make isqat of them, to bring them down and to bring their station down. And when we see, and just looking at the first point, who in actuality, ikhwan, when we look at who, yani, these principles and this methodology actually applies to, who does it actually apply to? When we look at these principles of Haddad and of Haddadiyya. Secondly, he mentions قولهم بتبديع كل من وقع في بدعة وابن هجر عندهم أشد وأخطر من سيد قطب. Secondly, their statement or their position of making تبديع, of declaring as innovators everyone who falls into بدعة. And Ibn Hajar, as far as they are concerned, are worse and أخطر, more dangerous than سيد قطب. Of course, ikhwan, you will be familiar with the tafsil of Ahl al-Sunnah and the clarification that they bring in relation to bid'ah. Who is a mubtadi'? Who isn't a mubtadi'? What is bid'ah? What declares, or what is it that necessitates that a person is declared as a mubtadi'? And what exempts him from that? All of these principles have been discussed in numerous sittings, in numerous writings, in numerous works, and in numerous durus that these people fail to listen to, fail to study, fail to observe, fail to analyze. But if they had the slightest bit of justice within their bodies, then they would know that we have made that tafsil for many, many decades. This tafsil concerning bid'ah, the difference between the one who falls into a bid'ah, makes a mistake, errs, didn't realize that he fell into bid'ah, made an error, and then his error was shown to him and he makes tawbah and he rectifies his error. And the one who falls into that error, falls into that bid'ah, does not correct his mistake, does not accept the nasiha of the nasihin, does not accept the nasiha of those who give him advice, persist upon his innovation, persist upon that error, then it is no longer referred to as an error. It is now deemed a bid'ah that this individual has fallen into and that he maintains. And so they declare anyone who falls into an error a mubtadi'. And in particular, they focus upon Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, Imam al-Nawawi, and Imam al-Shawkani and others who had some errors and fell into some errors. And I put it to you and I ask you, Ikhwan, do you not hear day and night us mentioning Hafidh ibn Hajar mentioned? And it is present in Fathul Bari. Hafidh ibn Hajar mentioned in Tahdhib. Hafidh ibn Hajar mentioned in Taqrib. Hafidh ibn Hajar explained the hadith as such and such. Do you not hear this from us day and night? Al-Imam al-Nawawi, he said such and such. Imam al-Nawawi, he said such and such. The true Haddadiyya, they held that the books of Hafidh ibn Hajar and Imam al-Nawawi should be burnt. How then are they going to liken us to the Haddad, the people of Haddadiyya? And they saw that Hafidh ibn Hajar was worse and more dangerous than Sayyid Qutb. Billahi alaykum, Ikhwan. You hear that from any of us? Thirdly, he mentions تَبْدِيعُ مَنْ لَا يُبَدَّعْ مِنْ تَبْدِيعُ مَنْ لَا يُبَدَّعْ مَنْ وَقَعَ فِي بِدْعَةِ وَعَدَاوَتِهِ وَحَرْبِهِ وَلَا يَكْفِي عِنْدَهُمْ أَنْ تَكُولْ عِنْدَ فُولَانْ أَشْعَرِيَّ مَثَلًا أو أَشْعَرِيَّ أو أَشْعَرِي بَلْ لَا بُدَّ أَنْ تَقُولْ مُبْتَدِعْ وإلا فالحرب والحجر والهجران والتبديع. Second, thirdly, that they make tabdi, that they declare as an innovator the one who does not make tabdi of one who falls into bid'ah. And so, therefore, they say, if an individual falls into bid'ah and you do not declare him a mubtadi, then you're a mubtadi. And that, Ikhwan, just one example of us making a statement that even resembles this. One example from a tape, from a lecture, from writings. One example of any of those who are connected with, whether it be Maktaba Salafiyya or our brothers in the US or our brothers elsewhere in the Western world. One example of a person who falls into our innovation. And then it is said to him, you have fallen into innovation, you're a mubtadi'. And if you do, or that this individual who has fallen into this innovation, you must declare him a mubtadi'. Or else you're a mubtadi'. One example of that coming from any of the people of Sunnah in the West. Fourthly, he mentions, تحريم الترحم. تحريم الترحم. على أهل البدعة بإطلاق ولا فرق بين رافضي وقدري وجهمي وبين عالم وقع في بدعة. Fourthly, them making it haram to make at-tarahum, that is to say rahimahullah, after he dies, upon the people of innovation. Absolutely. And no difference between a rafidi and a qadari and a jahmi and an alim who falls into a bid'ah. And so, even if he was just an alim who made a mistake, they make no difference between somebody who's rafidi, qadari, and an alim from Ahlul Sunnah who fell into an error. Again, just one example of something like this coming from any of us. Fifthly, he mentions, تَبْدِيعْ مَنْ يَتَرَحَّمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ أَبِي حَنِيفَ وَالشَّوْكَانِ وَابْنِ الْجَوْزِ وَابْنِ هَجَرْ وَالنَّوَوِي. Fifthly, that they made tabdi'a, they declared as innovators, anyone who made tarahum, and anyone who declared, or said rahimahullah, upon Abu Hanifa, or Imam al-Shawkani, or Ibn al-Jawzi, or Ibn Hajar, or Imam al-Nawawi. Aren't we day and night, Ikhwan, quoting these a'imma, and saying rahimahullah, Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah. Aren't we day and night, you hear that from us, Ikhwan? Can you not see the dhulm? Sixthly, al-adawa al-shadida lil-salafiyin mahma badalu min al-juhud fi al-da'wati ila al-salafiyya wa al-dhabbi anha ومهما اجتهدوا في مقاومة البدع والحزبيات والضلالات وتركيزهم على أهل المدينة ثم على شيخ الألباني رحمه الله تعالى لأنه من كبار علماء المنهج السلفي. He said, sixthly, their adawa or their staunch animosity for the Salafiyun, regardless of the efforts that they have in da'wah. And again, Ikhwan, I ask you, who do these characteristics apply to? Their staunch animosity to the Salafis, regardless of their great efforts in da'wah and in calling to Salafiyah and defending Salafiyah, regardless of how much they strive in standing against bid'ah and hizbiyah and dalalat, and they concentrate upon the scholars of Medina and then upon Sheikh Al-Albani because he was from the scholars of Al-Manhaj Al-Salafi. He mentions, أي أنهم من أشدهم في قمع الحزبيين وأهل البدعة وأهل التعصب. That is, Imam Sheikh Al-Albani was from the strongest of them in standing against the people of Hizbiya, the people of Bid'a, the people of misguidance and Ta'assub. طيب, we move on swiftly. Seventhly, غلوهم في الحداد. Their غلو and their extremism concerning حداد, يعني their founder محمود حداد. وادعاء تفوقه في العلم, and them claiming that he had excelled others in knowledge. ليتوصلوا بذلك إلى إسقاط كبار أهل العلم والمنهج السلفي. That is, their غلو concerning Haddad. And if we exchange Haddad for other individuals, and their claim that they have excelled others in knowledge, in order, pay attention, in order to reach by way of this, إسقاط كبار أهل العلم, bringing down the great and the major people of knowledge and the manhaj al-salafi. وَإِيصَالِ شَيْخِهِمْ إِلَى مَرْتَبَةِ الْإِمَامَةِ بِغَيْرِ مُنَازَعِ. That is, to bring their shaykh to the level of imam without any dispute. And that is, of course, in order to bring down the true people of knowledge. 8. تَسَلُّطِهِمْ عَلَى عُلَمَاءِ السَّلَفِيَّةِ في المدينة وغيرها ويرمزونهم بالكذب فلان كذاب وفلان كذاب وظهروا بصورة حب الصدق وتحري فلما بين لهم كذب الحداد بالأدلة والبراهين كشف الله حقيقة حالهم وما ينتوون عليه من فجور وَمَزْدَادُوا إِلَّا تَشَبُّثًا بِالْحَدَّادِ وَغُلُوًا فِيهِ. 8. And again, I ask you, as we're listening, to reflect upon who these characteristics really apply to. تَسَلُّتِهِمْ, them becoming or overpowering, and that is in relation to their, as it relates to their speech, the ulama of Salafiyyah in Medina and elsewhere, and them referring to them with kadib, referring to them with falsehood and with lies, and referring to them as liars. Fulanun kadhab, such and such is a liar, and this one is a liar, and that one is a liar. And they made this apparent in the surah, or in the form of having love for truthfulness and seeking out truthfulness. But when the lies of Haddad were made clear to them with evidence and with Barahin, Allah Azza wa Jal exposed their reality and made it clear that in actuality they were upon fujur, they were upon falsehood and sin and crime. And that is that they only increased in blindly clinging to Haddad and having ghulu for him. 9. امتازوا باللعن والجفا والإرهاب للدرجة أن كانوا يهددون السلفيين بالضرب بل امتدت أيديهم إلى ضرب بعض السلفيين. 9. That they went as far as to curse and speak ill and try to instill fear in the hearts of the Salafiyin and accuse them of, or يعني, threaten them with a darb, that they would beat them and they would physically harm them. And they went as far as to actually physically harm some of them. 10. اللعن المعين, them cursing specific individuals to the extent that they cursed Abu Hanifa. They made that dua against Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, and some of them made takfir of them. Some of them made takfir of some of them, like Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala. 11. And kibr wal'inad المؤديان إلى رد الحق كسائر غلاة أهل البدعة, them having kibr, pride and obstinance, to the extent that they rejected the haq, as is the case with the rest of the people of innovation. And so فكل ما قدمه أهل المدينة من بيان الانحرافات الحداد and منهج السلف رفضوه. Every time the people and the scholars of Medina presented to them the inhirafat and the deviance of Haddad and his straying away from the manhaj al-Salafi, they rejected it. Every time it was presented to them. And doesn't that sound like individuals that we know? 12. كانوا كثيرا أو كانوا أكثر ما يلتسقون بالإمام أحمد, that they would cling to Al-Imam Ahmad. And this is, of course, was a specific characteristic of these individuals at the time of the appearance of the Haddadiyya. فَلَمَّا بُيِّنَ لَهُمْ مُخَالَفَةِ الْحَدَّادِ لِلْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدِ فِي مَوَاقِفِهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ أَنْكَرُوا ذَلِكَ. And when it was made clear to them that in actuality they've opposed Imam Ahmad in their positions against Ahl al-Bid'ah, they rejected that. They repelled that. And then they accused what has been attributed to Imam Ahmad, that and its authenticity. And we find this characteristic being one that they used against the people of Sunnah. مع تنطعهم هذا رأي السلفيين علاقات بعضهم بالحزبيين وبعضهم بالفساق في الوقت الذي يهاربون فيه السلفيين. He said that some of them had تنطع, went into extremes with the سلفيين. Some of them having علاقات with حزبيون, having connections to حزبيون, connections to evildoers and فساق, while at the same time fighting against the people of Sunnah and Salafiyyah. Sound familiar, Ikhwan? Then our Sheikh, he mentions, rahimahullah, فَإِذَا بَيَّنَ لَنَا أَبُو الْحَسَنِ بِالْأَدِلَّ الْوَاضِحَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ يَرْمِيهِمْ بِالْحَدَّادِيَّةِ قَدِ اتَّسَفُوا بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ فَسَوْفَ لَا نَأْلَوْ جُهْدًا فِي إِدَانَتِهِمْ بِالْحَدَّادِيَّةِ بَلْ وَتَنْكِيرِ بِهِمْ بِالْكِتَابَةِ فِيهِمْ وَالتَّحْذِيرِ مِنْهُمْ وَإِلْحَاقِهِمْ بِالْحَدَّادِيَّةِ بِدُونِ هَوَادَ. That here he mentions again that Abu al-Hasan, and this is a challenge. Here Sheikh Rabi' lays down the gauntlet. He mentions, therefore, let Abu al-Hasan bring with adilla wadiha, with clear evidence, that those who he accuses of Haddadiyya, that they actually possess those characteristics. Let them bring with clear evidence that these characteristics of Haddad and of the Haddadiyun, that the people of Sunnah and Hadith, they actually possess these characteristics. He said, وَإِنْ عَجَزَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ فَأَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتُوبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَيُعْلِنْ هَذِهِ التَّوْبَ عَلَى الْمَلَأِ وَإِلَّا فَلَا يَأْلُوا جُهْدًا فِي نُصْرَتِهِمْ وَنُصْرَةِ الْمَنْهَجِ السَّلَفِي الَّذِينَ يُسِيرُونَ عَلَيْهِ وَالذَّبِّ عَنْهُ وَعَنْهُمْ. He said that indeed, if he's unable to bring any evidence, then it is upon him to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make that tawbah manifest, to make it clear and manifest. And this is what we say, ikhwan, to those who make this same accusation to the people of Sunnah and Hadith and Salafiyah in the Gharb and in the West. Let them bring with adilla, with barahin, with examples, with evidence that truly this methodology that you've just heard, that they truly have fallen into that. Let them bring that with evidence. And if they do not do so, then no doubt it is upon them to make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal for this dhulm and this oppression and this shubha and this misguidance and this doubt that they've established and that they've placed upon the hearts of the ignorant individuals and this oppression that they've done to Ahlul Sunnah wal Hadith. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى وفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضى وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.